Most companies drop the ball when nurturing customers into passionate advocates. That's the real payoff, after all. Advocacy hinges on trust, which requires customer success managers to foster deep, deep connections as the customer's own trusted advisors. Think of it like this. CSMs are like the customer's own personal guide in the journey towards advocacy. Hi, everyone. This is the CS School podcast, brought to you by Customer Success Collective. My name's Grace, and I'm the content lead at CSC and the host of this podcast. And I'm in the great position where I get to speak to CS professionals from all over the world, where we get to discuss the most pressing topics in customer success today. And what we try to do is really strip them back to basics and discover how we can best apply these strategies in day-to-day life. And would you believe it? We're back at it again, waxing lyrical about the significance of customer advocacy. In our last episode with Haig Kingston, we spoke about why companies need to seriously reevaluate the way they look at advocacy. And in this episode, we're joined by the wonderful Christy Rahman, a seasoned customer success specialist who came onto the pod armed with actionable tips for nurturing strong customer relationships right from the start. Christy tells us how to overcome friction points and truly advocate for your customers' needs. Without CSM's expertly building rapport, customers are just anonymous users, less likely to stick around or evangelize your brand. And honestly, if you think about all the effort that goes into marketing, to the sale, to onboarding, what's the point of all that effort if you're not looking at the customer journey holistically and really thinking about how to activate them into advocates? Well, I'm going to stop right there. You want to learn core advocacy tips. So let's just hand it over to the pro. Here's our episode with Christy. Hey, Christy, thank you so much for joining me on the CS School podcast. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Grace? Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really well. I'm really excited to have you on because you've been a content ambassador and you've produced some incredible content for the CSE over the last few months. And I just love the fact that I get to sit down with you and have a good chat. And it's going to be talking about how the CSM is the customer's advocate, you know, the advocate for the customer. And I feel like we're tapping into something really, really important here. But before we get cracking, would you mind telling our listeners a little bit about just kind of your, you know, professional background, like your role, how you came into customer success?
Absolutely. I'm very excited to be here as well. Love being an ambassador for Customer Success Collective. And, you know, it's been quite the journey into customer success. And I am so happy to be a part of the customer success community and a CSM as well. So I've worked for a number of different SaaS companies, and my experience has always been in tech. I have had, you know, experience selling to small to mid-sized businesses, mid-market accounts, and enterprise, and some strategic as well. And you know, when I went through that transition in learning or speaking with different size customers, as the customer gets larger, I started to realize that the conversation got much more involved. And it's not just a transactional, you know, conversation of getting a contract signed. It included really getting to know the customer in a very in-depth manner and building that rapport. And that meant understanding, you know, what their internal decision-making processes look like, how they're operating internally, getting to know them at a personal level sometimes as well, what their decision-making strategy is based on, who the decision makers are. And the list can go on and on in terms of, you know, the questions that I would receive from my customer. And so it was at that point, I've always been a relationship-based seller. And it was at that point that I really realized, gosh, I love getting to know my customer to this extent. And building that rapport, it was rewarding to me because I was able to really help them succeed and, you know, attain their goals in the best way that I can. And you are the impact that I provided was
invaluable. Oh, that sounds so interesting.
And then that time, that's when I decided to make the switch to customer success.
No, that's so interesting to me because it really seems like your sales experience had like a pivotal effect. The fact that you realize actually it's kind of stopped, you know, with your sales role, it kind of stopped at a certain point and you wanted to continue and keep developing that relationship with the customer. I love that.
Yeah.
I guess like if you think about the customer journey, which maybe we should start on if we're going to be talking about rapport building and sort of being an advocate for your customer. I guess in terms of being in the position to be able to be that advocate for your customer and to be able to assist them and really support them to reaching their goals, you need to have a really good foundation. And I guess with the customer journey, when CS comes in, I guess it starts with the sales to see. Would you say it starts with the sales to CS handoff? Like, and how nailing that is pretty important. The understatement of the century, probably. But you know, going from prospect to new customer, eventually to, you know, eventual hopefully advocate. You know, the CS to customer success handover is critical. And because CSMs have a certain duty of care. Would you say that's fair?
Absolutely, that's fair. That's absolutely correct. I think it's critical to have, you know, that sales to CS handoff is so important. And it's oftentimes a really hard one to nail down for a lot of companies out there. Mm. And, you know, I think customer success being evolving and where we are today with it, each organization, you know, operates differently in what their sales to CS handoff looks like today, right? Mm. And with, especially if you're in the software space, there's things like implementation that come in between sales and CS or work in conjunction with it, right? So when it comes to software, understanding what that implementation process looks like is key to really giving the customer a great start with the company, right? And so that from it all starts from sales and it goes in through implementation. I mean, it's all crucial. Those initial post-contract transitions are key. Mm. And a lot of things can happen within that time frame too, during implementation as well. So it's important to give it to allow or provide the customer a very smooth transition from sales to customer success. Mm. And, you know, I think oftentimes sales and customer success may feel like it's kind of a battle, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Where many salespeople do still think of it as a battle of, oh, sales or customer success. Because some customer success managers out there do have a selling aspect where, you know, they've got to renew contracts and they've got to expand on those contracts. Other customer success managers or CSMs out there don't have that piece, you know, included into their role. And so how they partner and work in conjunction with each other is key.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you really hit the nail on the head there. I think nurturing that relationship through that process isn't just vital. That's the rapport building you're doing by kind of nurturing that relationship through, you know, implementation and then through to onboarding. I don't think it can be sort of stated enough. But rapport building, I think, is something, or rapport in general, is something we hear a lot. But I was quite curious to know from your perspective, Christy, why would you say building rapport, it's not just nice, but it's necessary. What are your thoughts on that?
It's necessary because, you know, I mean, it starts with the customer journey, right? So building that rapport and doing it And genuinely wanting to know your customer quickly is going to get you into that customer journey, right? So, and we think of the customer journey in stages. It goes from prospect to new customer to repeating, you know, business or contracts, right? And so the reason I feel like rapport building is so important is because you're moving from being initial transaction to now you're retaining the customer. You know, the end goal, or I shouldn't say the end goal, but one of the main goals, I would say, for any customer success manager, and I said end goal, I guess maybe that's a Freudian slip, but really, the last thing that many customer success managers want, or that any customer success manager wants, really is churn, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't want our customers to leave us. We want to extend the life of our customer. We want our customers to stay with us, work with our company. We want to support them in the best way that we can. And retention is really, really important to customer success managers. And so when you have that rapport set with that client, you can kind of navigate them through the rest of that journey. And you are able to talk about, well, what are some of the, you know, projects that you have happening in your company? What else is going on? What are some projects that you have in your company? What are things happening in your company where we can support you? And you find now new opportunity there to expand, you know, the conversation. So when you have that rapport and you're an advocate for them and you completely understand what they're trying to deliver or what their goal is, or their, you know, what they need to provide or what needs to happen in their company, you can then speak to, you know, your higher ups and your executive team and say, hey, look, this is what they're trying to do. I think that we should go here and here, or you're able to kind of help guide that conversation better for both parties. Mm. And, you know, customer success managers have a lot of things on their plate every day. We've got a ton of projects that we're talking through and trying to find opportunity to extend the lifetime value of that customer. At the end of the day, you want to extend that lifetime value. You don't just want one contract. You know, you want to deliver not just on those contracts or expansions, but you want to give them a great experience as a whole. And so I think it all starts from the rapport. I still admittedly am in contact with my old customers.
Are you really?
Oh. Yeah. I mean, there are people from other company, yeah, post customers that I still, you know, talk to who, you know, we keep in touch with. I, one of which actually was like, I'd love to work with you. I'd love you to work here. So.
Oh, that's so nice.
You know, yeah.
Oh, that's really, it's a testament to rapport building, I guess. But
yeah,
I guess though, you've got to have that foundation, right? Like, I guess trust and being empathetic is, I don't know, probably the currency of being, you know, of
it's
rapport.
The currency of, exactly. It's the currency of being a customer success manager. So I know it sounds sappy and touchy feely that I'm talking so much about the, you know, the rapport, right? And like, go really getting to know them personally. And it, you know, it does sound touchy feely in comparison to what sales is, where you're like, okay, I've got to get this contract done, right?
Yeah.
But really, I mean, you have to genuinely care about your customers to a degree, right? And at the end of the day, you want to be able to support your customer, provide them value. You want to be able to support them in the best way that you can and advocate for them. And you want to represent your company in the best way possible and see how you can help, how, you know, you being the your company, you know, how you can help and support them in the best way. Mm. It's really about the experience. And I think it's no different than any experience that we have, you know, interacting in a store, for example. It's the same concept. Mm. It's about that customer experience and how you can best support them. So going above and beyond to whatever degree you can is really
what kind
all
of
that ways, I can stress.
Sorry.
And being empathetic.
What kind of ways would you say you can, for any, you know, potentially any new customer success managers who are listening, like, you know, what would you say is the any tips that you've learned that you think is really just key, really, really key to be a CSM, to be able to build that rapport early on? You know, is it, you mentioned before about asking about their projects, you know, future, you know, looking at the timeline. Are there any other questions you can ask to sort of, you know, get on that kind of, what am I trying to say, you know, be able to have that rapport?
Yeah. So you hit the nail on the head with empathetic. And I was wanting to use the word empathetic in rapport building, but truly show that empathy and show that empathy every day. Whether it's via, I prefer conversations versus, or meetings versus email, but if you have to call your customer and if you have to have a meeting, a virtual call, whatever it may be, do it. I think showing empathy and understanding and that you actually care about what they're trying to achieve will get you there. Once a customer feels that you truly care and sees how far you're going for them, I think that just proves it. And I think some questions that are great to ask in developing that rapport is, you know, what is the, if there's something that is specifically, you know, going to get them to a goal, asking questions that are just, you know, what is the deciding factor in getting this contract signed? What is the deciding factor in your decision with making, you know, XYZ, you know, happen? What conversation, like just being, I would say, just curious. And me personally, I'm just a very curious person to begin with. So I just start asking a lot of questions anyway to my customers. But just being curious and asking their thought about their thought process and sort of what gets them to that deciding factor and why is it happening in this company in this way or in this division that you're working, you know, because you're not only talking to C-level executives, but you're talking to the people that is on their team, right? So getting an understanding and getting some insight into how decisions are being made, how things are operating in the way that they are, will give you a better view of, you know, the intricacies within the organization and how the decisions are made. Of course, there's only so much one person can do or a team that's supporting a CSM can do, but at least it'll give you insight or hints as to their thought process. The questions, just be, again, be as curious as possible. Let me think if there's anything specific question-wise that I would ask. How are you determining that? So how, if they have a project, for example, that needs to be completed and they need you to do training, you know, in by a certain number of times. So who are the people that you're training? What are their roles? Who will be there in terms of presenting, you know, who are we presenting to? What specifically in the platform are you seeing your users focus on? And tools like Pendo will give you insight to that. And so understanding the specifics of what each person is doing, for example, will give you more insight into how to present or how to convey a certain message. So those questions kind of come as they come, but just being curious only helps you better prepare.
Thank you, Chrissy. They're absolutely golden. I hope everyone has jotted those down, or I think that's definitely not one to be missed. I guess with customer relationship management in the wider sense, but we're talking specifically about, you know, customer success managers, it's all about sort of turning sort of sticky points and into sort of smooth sailing. And you want to make sure all about the customer experience. You want to make sure that your customer is happy. And it sounds a bit, you know, but you do want them to be happy and to find that value in your product. But I guess looking back to what we were just mentioning before, sort of the end game of customer success, you know, by being an advocate for your customer, it breeds in and of itself customer advocacy. You know, you advocating for your customer, it's like a full circle moment. But to get to that point and to be able to have a customer who is an advocate for your company and who, you know, lives and breathes your product and is just, you know, a champion, to get to that point, you obviously need to invest that time and rapport building into the customer. So I guess I want to know is like how you show your customers you're in their corner from day one. So I guess, are there any, do you have any examples of when you can, you know, in your past experience, really, how you go above and beyond for a customer? You know, is there do you have like a, maybe an anecdote where there was maybe a slight sticky point in the customer relationship, but due to the fact that you were from day dot, you were in their corner and you were trying to give them the best possible experience, how, you know, you resolve that issue?
Yeah. I mean, I think it just, oh gosh, I've got a lot of examples where I've had to go in and just kind of roll up my sleeves and do it myself. It really starts there. I think if there's been times where I have personally gone and looked at support tickets and, you know, monitored things on my own personally for my customers, even though there might be a support, you know, team that we have at the company, right? But escalations is a perfect example. You know, we've got escalations that we're always handling. And even though support is there to support, you know, the customer success managers, the sales teams and the entire company, I mean, they do a fantastic job doing it. But there's a fine line when it comes to customer success versus support. And, you know, there have been plenty of times where I've had to go in and there's, you know, an escalation or a customer comes to me and says, hey, I need you to do this. This is what's going on, Chrissy. Like, I need you to do X, Y, Z. This is like a big thing. Let's make it happen. This is how it's impacting, you know, our company. Yeah. And this is how it's going to impact my customer. And there's been times where I've had to go to a manager, go to an executive team member and say, hey, look, this is what's happening. This is why it's important. And they mentioned this and that, and it needs to happen in 2 days because they might be deploying, you know, a platform to their customers.
Yeah.
And it can mean XYZ if it doesn't happen. You know what I mean? And that's what it takes to make it happen. So yes, there's guidelines and rules and processes to everything. Sometimes you have to break those in order to make something happen. And I'm not advocating for breaking the rules and not following the processes by any means. But when a customer comes to you and you understand the impact of it and how important it is to them and how we can lose them if, you know, something doesn't happen, and you really get the capacity or the bandwidth of the impact of what not getting something resolved will do to the entire relationship, it's important to convey that to whoever you can as quickly as you can to make it happen. So, you know, I think escalations are a perfect example of what we go through as customer success managers, where if we don't resolve those issues, you can completely break their system. The systems can't talk to each other. You can put the customer in a place where, you know, things aren't working properly for them, or things aren't working on our end properly and we can't see anything. So it's important to convey and like shout it from the rooftop if there's something that's really going to, you know.
Yeah. I was thinking, what happens though when you can't? Like, obviously, you can escalate an issue, you can really, really push to get something, like particularly like a product bug or something that's not quite right. But what happens to that? What happens to that rapport when it's sort of, if you can't get it fixed, I guess it's shaken a little bit. How do you go about getting that back and to show the customer you're still in the corner? Because it's a pretty it's not the best situation to be in. It's not anything anybody will relish being in that situation, but it will happen to more people often than not. So what do you deal with that?
It is a really tough situation to be in when, you know, they feel rattled. And to your point, you've built that rapport so strongly with them at this point that, you know, you feel like you've, as a customer success manager, many times you feel like you failed them, or they feel like, well, you're questioning whether they feel like, is this the right customer success manager for me? You know, and so it's no different than, you know, the feelings that you go through is no different than as if you were, you know, on a sales floor trying to, you know, get them a certain dress that they wanted and it's no longer sold in the store, or, you know, they discontinued it, or it's not even. So the feeling is the same, right? You kind of just feel bummed about it and you feel like, well,
some things are out of your control, I guess, but
it's out of your control. Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing to convey is that, you know, just apologize for it and let them know that it is out of your control, because their relationship with that customer success manager is a very deep one. It's very different than any other role I've been in the sense that your CSM really is your right-hand person. And customers think of you that way. Of course, you have the fabulous backing of amazing executives and, you know, a fantastic company behind you, right? But it's because you've built that rapport, it's personally many times taken out on the customer success manager. So I think building back that rapport, it can be a struggle. But helping or finding ways after, let's say, things get rattled, how they can improve, what makes things easier for you, how taking a step back and having a post, you know, I would say a meeting to just kind of sort of decompress what happened or what the escalation was or what the issue was. Just kind of reviewing what happened in those instances, because things move quickly in those times, and seeing how you can improve them is really all the best that we can do. Understanding, well, what can we do, or what could we have done to make things smoother? How can I be of any assistance to you personally? Who else do you feel like I might need to talk to? What do you need us to have a meeting? Like, whatever the case may be, or the customer's feeling, I think providing that support in that moment is the best thing that you can do. Proving to them that you can support them moving forward by having even that meeting shows something there.
Absolutely. It sounds like really the key is, from what you're saying, to correct me if I'm wrong, but I guess over communicating, making sure that you're keeping them up to speed, so there's not really a an inch of room for them to doubt that you're not on this. Because even like you said, if something doesn't go quite right, you haven't been able to get them exactly what they're on in this specific time period. I guess, yeah, would you say that's fair?
Grace, you hit the nail on the head with that one. I mean, over communicating sometimes is really good. And sometimes you can't, but over, I don't think it ever hurts the customer to communicate. Almost over communicating at times is best. Just because you are sort of the middle person in, you know, between product, between sales, between the executive team, you're sort of that middle person and that go-to person. So over communicating with your customer and with everyone at your company too is only going to benefit you, because then it enables everyone to work better and, you know, an experience for that customer to be the best that they've had. All around, you want a positive experience, and over communicating is a great way to do that. I think also, whether it be email, phone, text, just whatever form of communication, if you find something out, convey it. Just do whatever you can to share. And I think, you know, that's really all that you can do, right? Is just continue to over communicate, I would say, is my biggest piece of advice.
Oh, thank you. That's absolutely terrific stuff there. I think we've really touched on some really crucial things that I think are talked about in the sort of CS space, but really I think boils down to be in your customer's corner. And by being that advocate, you will in a sense breed further advocacy. And by having customer advocates, this, you know, ties in nicely to an article you wrote for us, customer advocates prefer new business, which drives revenue and all that good stuff. So it's really crucial that, you know, and it's probably like a pillar of being a great CSM, I would have thought.
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely a pillar of being a great CSM. Just kind of putting your passion and your devotion into, you know, doing the best that you can to be the best middle person, if you will, is a huge part of even proving to, you know, or even getting those contracts signed.
Absolutely.
Talking about the benefits, the value, and really kind of conveying that and showing that in the best way that you can, and having your team support you in that and specifically show how that's being done, will really, you know, going the extra mile will show the devotion and will bring those contracts and will, you know, continue partnerships with the company. I think it's just put your heart into it.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. I mean, I think, yeah, it's been a fantastic episode. And I think, unfortunately, we're drawing to a close now, but I really want to stress that if, people, I'm sure lots of listeners probably will have had like lots of thoughts about this and probably want to start a conversation. So I really encourage them to reach out to Christy, to you, and start that conversation. Like, what are their, you know, what are listeners like top tips around this? What, you know, I think it's so important that we keep like talking about this and learning new things. So would you say, is that all right? Is it okay for listeners to reach out to you?
Absolutely. It is. Absolutely all right for listeners to reach out to me. I am absolutely customer obsessed. I wouldn't be a customer success manager and in this space if I didn't have a passion for it and I wasn't devoted to it. I love networking and I love meeting other fellow, you know, customer success managers out there. I think I'm, you know, I love to learn from all of you too. So if there are any customer success managers out there that would love to chat further, be more than happy to. Any executives, anyone. I love customer success. So yeah, it'd be great to reach out and learn from one another. We're here to support each other. So happy to be here as, you know, as a resource.
Listeners, she loves customer success. You heard it here first. So, and what I'll do is I'll drop your LinkedIn link in the show notes, and you can find Christy's hanging out in the CSE Slack channel. So lots of exciting conversations I'm sure will follow from this. But it has been an absolute pleasure having you on, Christy. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about this, you know, really, really important topic. I've loved listening to you, and I've loved learning as well. I'm sure lots of other people will have too.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Grace. I really enjoyed the conversation with you as well.
Oh, thanks, Christy.
Thanks so much, Grace.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check out our other episodes and go to customersuccesscollective.com for even more customer success related content. You can also join our global community on Slack, and you can find the link to that on the CSE website. But until then, see you next time.